This song's gonna get stuck inside your head. Kevin, I have a song stuck in my head. What am I gonna do?
Everything's not awesome. This song is gonna get stuck inside your head.
Get the craggle.
Get the craggle. I guess we're teasing of something and buy it, stream it, or unsee it, right?
Something like that, yeah. But how you been?
I've been doing good.
Been a week.
Yeah, doing good.
Been a week.
Yeah.
We saw a movie, obviously.
But hold on, real quick.
We got some things to talk about. But
I got a question, real quick. You know how we have the end zone or NFL thing? My interest in that AAF league. What's it called?
AAF, American Alliance of American Football.
My interest in that is gaining. So,
yeah,
Jennifer,
I actually watched some of that.
Listening to this, apparently I've picked a team already.
Oh, really? What team did you pick?
The Birmingham Iron, because they have silver and black colors.
Gee, shocker.
All the Raider fans are adopting that. Well, not all of them. Some of them are doing the San Diego team because they're affiliated with the Raiders and several other of the California teams. But I can't just root for a San Diego team right now.
Yeah. Well, I know there's no official NFL. Like, they can't put NFL guys on practice squads and stuff like that. But I know, like, they're airing it on the NFL Network, which is kind of cool.
I got to catch a game because I was watching something on ESPN and they were talking about how they like the game flow and they're talking about a couple of the rules that they feel the NFL should adopt from it. And, you know, I don't know if it was like the 30-second clock they were talking about or the something.
There's three things actually they should adopt from it. I know this is an end zone, but we're going to talk about this just briefly. They have a 35-second play clock. They have a sky umpire, which is an umpire that's got like a, basically, he can buzz in anytime there's an egregiously missed call or if a call is even remotely.
Yes.
Basically, what we should have had for New Orleans.
Yeah.
And three, there are no TV timeouts.
I love that. I think that's awesome. Yeah, I got to watch one of those games. You said they're showing them on the NFL Network?
Yeah, CBS broadcasts them and the NFL Network broadcasts them. I watched the main debut game because Orlando has a team.
And it's a 10-game schedule from what I heard, right?
Yeah, 10 teams, 10 games.
So who are you adopting? Who's your team?
I got to adopt the hometown Orlando Apollos, coached by one Steve Spurrier.
All right, there you go. Was it Birmingham Iron? Is that what it is, I think?
Yeah, we got the Birmingham Iron. Now, there is an interesting push because obviously we have the XFL coming here in another year as well. So I'm kind of curious to see what's going to happen with this. But there's a lot of former NFL players involved in this. And there is some talk that the NFL is going to kind of scout some of these rules. And if this league had apparently high ratings over the weekend for its four games that they televised. There's just a push that maybe in a year or two, NFL could at least take practice squad eligible players and allow them to be put into this league.
Interesting. I'm fascinated now. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Pay attention to that.
We got to cover that. We got to listen to Jen and cover that in the next end zone.
Yeah. Well, you know, but I loved our epic end zone last week.
Oh, wasn't that? That went on forever, man.
The all-time biggest, most epic episode of the end zone ever.
Yeah, that Super Bowl wrap-up, man. Wow, that was just, that was filled with so much juicy content. I'm hearing so much great feedback about that, man.
That was great. Yeah. But speaking of great feedback, I believe we're diving into some of your music knowledge this week, too.
Yeah, but we could do that, but we want to, like, tell people stuff, you know?
Well, yeah, but we got a lot of stuff to talk about. So before we tap Kevin's brain, before we tap a keg, before we tap anything else, let's do this thing.
This is the Culture Clash.
Well, Welcome to episode 118 of the Culture Clash. Of course, you're home for fandom news, reviews, and whatever crazy stuff Kevin and I can come up with. And of course, you can find Culture Clash on all these great places, but it all starts at our homepage at fpnet.podbean.com. If you're using your mobile device, of course, you can always download the Podbean app and search Fandom Podcast Network. Of course, you can also search Fandom Podcast Network on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play for your Android users, and of course, also on Spotify. You can visit our Facebook page at Fandom Podcast Network. You can email us. Let us know what you think, whether we're doing great, whether you think you have some ideas for us. You know, hey, you know what? We're always looking for possible guilty pleasure cult classic films. So, you know, send in your suggestions and email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram, Fandom Podcast Network, or on Twitter at FanPod Network. Of course, I'm Kyle. You can follow me on Twitter at AKyleW. And on Instagram at AKyleFandom. Kevin, where can people find you on the social medias?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix.
You know, I was having a hard time looking up your MySpace page the other day.
It's there, dude. I've got it. And you are not in my top eight. I'm just saying.
Oh, man. It's Dave, isn't it? It's all Dave. Of course, you got to be wearing the Fandom Podcast Network gear. Visit our store at TeePublic, teepublic.com. Search Fandom Podcast Network or type in the name of any show on the Fandom Podcast Network. It'll take you to the gear we've got for that, whether it's shirts, tapestries, bags, stickers, computer covers, whatever you need. Of course, and we also love to hear how we're doing, especially on iTunes. So please hop onto iTunes, search Fandom Podcast Network, leave us a 5-star review. We love those, but we just love the feedback in general. And Kevin had a giggle.
Sorry, Trent Richardson is on the team of the Birmingham Iron roster.
I know. I could have told you that. I watched the game.
I didn't know that. Sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, before we do Let's News, Kevin, you know, one of the things we haven't really dived into a whole lot on Culture Clash is music. And I know we had a little segment a few weeks back where we talked about, like, guilty pleasure bands.
Yeah.
So, but you wanted to bring up some stuff with the Grammys because there is a fandom tie-in this year with the Grammys.
Yeah. You know, I recorded the Grammys. I didn't watch them live. And I want to, because I like to go in and check some of the performances, because I know Lady Gaga was going to do a really cool version of Shallow from A Star Is Born. So I want to watch that. But there's a lot of these bands and artists. I have no idea who they are. You know, we're getting old.
I am not caught up in pop music.
I'm
going to be honest.
But Lando, a.k.a. Childish Gambino, a.k.a. Donald Glover, wins multiple Grammys. I think he won for everything he was nominated for. It was at least 4 of them.
Including Record of the Year for This Is America. He won Song of the Year for This Is America.
So
he won a couple of the big ones. The only one big one he did not win was Album of the Year, which he was not nominated for. That went to Golden Hour by Casey Musgraves.
Yeah. So we got to give it. So Lando, Donald Glover, man. Okay. So is he a triple threat? Okay. So wait, hold on. He can act. He can sing.
He can do comedy.
He can do comedy. That's right. He's a comedian.
Yeah. He's got that Atlanta show on FX. That's very
so
popular.
He's a triple threat then, right?
He's hosted Saturday Night Live a couple of times.
Yeah, usually you have to have like 3 skills, you know, like whether you're a dancer or a singer and actor.
He's a writer, but he's also a writer because he writes Atlanta too.
There you go, man. Give it up to Lando, man. Jeez,
he's a quadruple threat.
Yeah. So I thought that was worth you know, a little notification there.
Yeah. Plus he's good with the ladies and the droids.
He is. He definitely is. Yes. So yeah. So give it up to Lando. 4 Grammys. There you go.
Yep, absolutely. Now, Kevin, I must say, you are a little bit more spry. You're a little bit more awake than last week, where you were still suffering the effects of the super boredom and the pizza coma.
Oh, God, yeah. I was nodding out on you, wasn't I?
Yeah. So I had to step in for you last week and take care of a little something. But are you back? Are you ready for it this week? Are you primed?
Me. Let's news.
Let's news.
Okay. Now, Kevin, before we get into the news, I got to ask you, I happened to share something on my Facebook page. I believe it was over the weekend. Are you familiar with the show Drop the Mic?
No.
It's kind of a rap battle show. But they're using celebrities, and it's that, you know, that kind of trash talking insult rap.
Oh,
where
going back, yeah, okay,
battle
okay.
rap.
Gotcha.
Well, I posted a video from that because it's a fun show. Their competitors this week were Kermit the Frog and Pepe the Shrimp versus wait, it gets better versus Miss Piggy and Beaker.
I don't remember seeing that. Now I got to go see that, man. That's funny.
Yeah. So go find me on Facebook, Kyle Wagner, and you got to see that clip because it's hilarious. So
love it.
So, okay. Things that I'm not loving, however. So at the Grammys last night, there was a new trailer for the live action Aladdin, and we got our first look at Will Smith as the genie. I'm having nightmares still, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a good idea, Disney. This is bad.
I don't know what to say. I don't care, I guess.
Okay.
The only live action trailer that I've seen or care about right now is, I think Dumbo looks good. You know,
Dumbo looks good. I'm intrigued by The Lion King, but I'm not sold yet.
Yeah, I'm not sold on it either. But we like Will Smith, right? I mean,
we like Will Smith. We love Will Smith. Will Smith is great. But this, and I guess the problem is you know what? Our good buddy Norman, I think, summed it up very well on his Facebook feed. He talked about there's a whole generation that really hasn't seen Aladdin.
Yeah.
Or didn't. So hasn't experienced Robin Williams as the genie.
Yep.
And I think for people of our generation who smack dab big when Aladdin came out, we are so locked into Robin Williams as the genie.
Agreed. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it's still one of the all-time great Disney performances.
I would agree. Yeah. I'm gonna be a wait and see type thing. And I don't even know if I'm gonna see.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm gonna see it either. You know where I went when I saw the Will Smith in this genie makeup?
Mm.
I went to Oscar Isaac's in X-Men as Apocalypse.
Oscar Isaac's?
Oscar Isaac.
I forgot he did that.
Where I remember when the first time we looked at it, everybody was like, is that Ivan Hughes from Power Rangers?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I am not real sure about this, but okay, Disney. Now, another interesting thing came out. The working title for the new James Cameron Terminator film is out, Kevin.
Is he directing it or just producing it? Hold on. Is he directing or just producing it? Tim Miller, the director of the first Deadpool, he's directing.
Yeah. It's set to open November 1st. It is going to be called Terminator Dark Fate. That's their working title right now.
Okay.
Linda Hamilton is coming back. So is Arnold. And Mackenzie Davis from Blade Runner 2049 is going to be in this. Kevin, I'm just not sure about this movie.
Says the film, the film will wipe the slate clean following 2015's Terminator Genesis and be a direct sequel to Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
The Terminator is a mess. They have made a mess of it.
I'm more excited about this than I am that Will Smith genie Aladdin movie.
Oh yeah, I'll go with that. But still.
And to see Linda Hamilton back as Sarah Connor, count me in.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. Yes, but I'm still there's trepidation. There's optimistic trepidation. Let me put it that way.
I'm not feeling that. I'm just really curious. That's what I'm gonna say.
Yeah,
I'm curious.
Yeah. Now something I'm curious about is this. Now, we all know Benioff and Weiss are wrapping up the final season of Game of Thrones here in a few months, and that they're going to be moving on to a Disney project with Star Wars. However, before that, they were in talks to do a show, a new show for HBO called Confederate, which was an alternate history where the South won the Civil War.
Oh, and fascinating.
A lot of people, when this was initially announced, lost their minds over this.
Oh, geez.
because, you know, political correctness. And
all. Who's that author that does all those alternate history books?
Oh, I can't. I know who you're talking about.
But I can't remember. Yeah.
Anyway, HBO says, as far as they're aware, they're still planning to move forward with Confederate.
They should.
Because a lot of people thought maybe this was going on the shelf after it was announced Benioff and Weiss were going to do a Star Wars project. But I hope this happens because I'm really looking forward to, I like the concept. I love alternate history books. So I think this could be very interesting and people just get over it.
Yeah. Hey, I was wondering if I could squeeze something into the Let's News here that I meant to do and I completely forgot about it. It was something I posted on my Facebook page today. And I think it's interesting.
Yeah, go for it.
Do you mind?
Nope.
Okay. So, the Lord of the Rings TV series, that Amazon is producing
I saw this.
Okay. Amazon is producing it and paying for it. Will be filmed in Scotland with a record-breaking budget. I know we've heard about this. Says here that scouts from Amazon Studios posing as tourists embarked and earmarked locations across the nation such as Skye, Perthshire, and Loch Lomond as potential spots to start filming. All places I have been, Kyle. With the largest budget in television history, the new series will expect to start shooting later this year. Whopping $1 billion budget. Of course, here they're saying £1 billion, but, you know. Amazon paid over $200 million for the global rights for J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, and it will be creating a new series with the assistance of the Tolkien Estate and Trust, HarperCollins, and New Line Cinema. The plot is currently under wraps right now, but they're saying that it will follow the early life of Aragorn. This is speculation, who played, of course, by Viggo Mortensen in the Rings film. It says, and then head of Amazon Studios, Jennifer Salk, said, "We're not remaking the movies, but we're also not starting from scratch. It'll be characters people love. There's no shortage of ambition for this project. It expects to start broadcasting in 2021. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm excited. I've been excited for this for a while. I really like the things Amazon is doing. And one thing if people want to get a feel for really what Amazon is going to do with something they're incredibly passionate about as far as a show, look at what they're doing right now with The Expanse and how heavily they're marketing The Expanse.
Also the Jack Ryan series too, man.
Yeah, Jack Ryan as well, which was excellent. But with The Expanse, which is a show that was, of course, on the Sci-Fi channel for the first three seasons, and because it was just the expense of making it, they just chose not to renew it. And Amazon jumped all over it because apparently the guy who owns Amazon wanted this show in the beginning. He loved, apparently, the books and the premise and wanted this show from the start and was really upset they didn't get the rights. Now they have the rights because they've started all three seasons that are been filmed are currently now available on Amazon Prime as a streaming to stream it.
Well, back to the Lord of the Rings news here. I just want to mention that of all the travels that Aaron and I did there last year, we came across a lot of great and beautiful locations. That country of Scotland is just beautiful as it is anyway. But it could totally double from Middle Earth and so many locations there. And I'm really excited that they're looking into filming there. And with the popularity of Outlander and the filming studios they have there, I'm sure that they can set up shop somewhere around there.
Yeah. I'm excited about this, but I really want to hear some casting news soon.
Yeah.
So, but speaking of original content, let's go back and talk a little HBO because we've known this was coming, but now it is official that in the spring of 2019, the Deadwood movie will arrive on HBO. I'm excited, Kevin.
That means a few months, Kyle.
Yeah, which is a lot sooner than I expected it.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
I didn't think we would see this till maybe fall
of
2019. So.
Maybe I should start marathoning that now.
Yeah, are you done with your Thrones marathon?
Yeah, I'm done with the Thrones marathon, man. I'm ready.
Yeah, I kind of held off. I think I'm going to be starting mine here in the next week, so Slacker. I am set and ready to go. Well, you know, lots of other things. So, now, Kevin, what happens when a movie gets really successful and makes a whole lot of money?
They usually want to do a sequel,
or maybe a spinoff.
Yeah.
Well, apparently that's what's in the works for Aquaman. I am sure we're going to get Aquaman too.
Are we going to get something for like Aquaman's mom maybe? Or you know, like Aquaman's dad or like the redheaded girl, whatever her name is, going to see her as a kid?
No, we're going to get
How about like Manta's dad? Black Manta's dad. Nope. Are we going to get something on him?
Nope.
Okay.
Sorry. Nope.
What about Dolph Lundgren as the king? What about him? We're gonna get him?
Nope. Sorry. Nope.
Dude, what are we gonna see then?
We're gonna get a horror film based off the trench creatures.
I'm sorry, I nodded off there for a sec. What'd you say?
We're getting a horror film based off the creatures from the trench.
Why?
Okay. No. Now this is where my comic reading side comes in, because they actually did a couple of very, very intriguing stories with the trench in the comics. Jeff Johns wrote.
Okay. Well, first of all, explain the trench.
Well, in the Aquaman, the trench is basically this place where there was a tribe that left Atlantis and they went into this trench, and because it was down so deep, and they basically devolved into these creatures from these creature forms that we saw in Aquaman.
Okay.
And there's a lot of mystery surrounding things in the trench, but it's basically, it sounds like what they're talking about is pulling off some kind of horror spinoff type film with the trench. So I'll be curious to see what other characters they might incorporate from Aquaman. Maybe they do put Amara in it, or maybe Nicole Kidman comes back for something with this, but it's interesting. I don't know if it's what everybody wants to see, but
nobody was clamoring after Aquaman to see the trench.
Nobody was clamoring for an Aquaman spinoff. They were clamoring for an Aquaman sequel.
Yeah. What the heck? Oh,
but I mean, I'm at least intrigued to see what ideas they have in place with this, but this is Warner Brothers being Warner Brothers with DC. So they can't seem to get it out of their own way. However, something comic book related that I am very excited about is Netflix, who about a year ago reached a deal with comic creator Mark Millar for a lot of his original properties to adapt them into comic book series. One of his best series of recent years was Jupiter's Legacy, which was about... You have something to chime in, I can tell.
Does that mean we're going to see Channing Tatum back? And what's her name from that 70s show?
No, wrong.
Jupiter's Jupiter. Ascending, right? This is a part of that, right?
No, Jupiter's Legacy. Sorry.
Yeah, but it's like just a sequel or prequel to this, right? We get to see Channing Tatum. It's not related to Jupiter's Ascending or whatever it's called.
No, it is not in no any way, shape, or form.
Oh, all right.
But the concept is pretty interesting. It's about the children of a generation of superheroes, except these kids have kind of gone. Not in the classic hero form. They've kind of become celebrity icons, other things. And
you mean like rich kids of celebrities?
Yeah, basically. And the concept is very interesting because things kind of go south because an old villain returns and you find out some truths that were hidden. And let's just say it's very intense. It's not a Marvel comic.
Where have I heard the term Mark Millar again? He sounds familiar.
Kick-Ass.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay.
So I am very intrigued by this. Netflix could do a very good job with this. So I'm looking forward to this.
Maybe Channing Tatum can star in it.
Well, they have cast a couple of people. They haven't said what roles they're going to play yet, but Josh Duhamel and Leslie Bibb have been cast to be part of this show.
Oh, I like those guys.
Yeah, so I'm very interested with that. But, you know, Kevin, we are on our Thrones countdown, and I tried to find little fun pieces of Game of Thrones news a couple weeks ago. We talked about how Kit Harington got himself in trouble.
Yeah.
Because they spoiled it. Well, do you remember Tommen's cat, Sir Pounce? By any chance?
Yes. Yeah. I heard he like became a hero and he took down some walkers and I think he had the plot to kill Cersei and then didn't go through. And then I think he didn't he teach Brienne of Tarth how to fight too? No. I think.
No. You're getting things confused, but Sir Pounce, Tommen's cat, hasn't been seen on Game of Thrones since season 4's episode Oathkeeper nearly 5 years ago. This has led to endless speculation about the fate of Sir Pounce, especially since Tommen committed suicide in season 6. The speculation, however,
so when did we last see the cat?
5 years ago.
No. What episode? What scene? Do you know?
Oathkeeper. I don't know what scene, but the episode was Oathkeeper.
Was that the one where
season 4?
Is that the one where Brianna gets that new sword called Oathkeeper?
It might be.
And she gets the armor that Jaime Lannister also gave her.
I think it might be.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd have to double check.
So the cat's alive then, right? We're going to see him in season 8?
No. The speculation can end now because showrunners David Benioff and D.B. Weiss confirmed in an interview with Entertainment Weekly that Sir Pounce is in fact dead and that Cersei was responsible.
Oh, man. Oh, she's evil.
Okay. Well, here's the story, according to Benioff and Weiss. Cersei hated the name Sir Pounce so much she could not allow him to survive, Benioff said. So she came up with her most diabolical execution per execution. Sir Pounce's death was so horrible we couldn't even put it on the air. If you buy the super extended, supercharged Game of Thrones box set that comes out, the death of Sir Pounce will be in there, Dan Weiss added. Just one whole episode devoted to the death of Sir Pounce. All kidding aside, Benioff said the cat was not pleasant to work with. The cat was really not fun to work with, Benioff said. There's a reason the phrase like herding cats came into existence. Dogs generally do what you ask them to do if they're smart and well-trained, Weiss added. Cats have their own agenda.
Can I be honest with you? I completely forgot about that damn cat. I had no idea this was a thing.
I didn't either until I read this article, but I thought it was a fun little thing as we count down to the final season of Game of Thrones.
Oh, that's so cute.
Poor Sir Pounce.
Oh, man. Cersei, though? Oof. She's nasty.
Oh, she
that
is
would, that would be a Cersei thing, you know?
Yeah, it would be a Cersei thing.
Yeah, but now she's pregnant.
That's scary in itself.
Yeah.
We've seen what her other children have turned into.
Yeah. And dead.
Yeah. Well, with that, that kind of closes out the news, but we have seen one or two things. So it's time for a little. Let me put it this way. It's time to build up some.
Buy it, stream it, or unsee it.
Kevin, is everything awesome?
Everything is not awesome.
Oh, man. I don't want to hear that. Yes, we kind of hinted at this at the top of the show. Both Kevin and I have seen the Lego movie, too. Kevin, I want to get your thoughts first here.
I took the opportunity to take Camille to go see it because she expressed interest in seeing it. We saw the original one together. And I remember when the original one came out, the McDonald's was having a promotion of cups from the movie. And I remember we collected all of them and we still have a few of them and we drink from them and stuff. So it was something, it was a daddy daughter date. We wanted to go see it and stuff. And overall, I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. I don't think I enjoyed it as much as the first one, but it had its moments. A lot of catchy songs, just like, you know, everything is not awesome and the song's going to get stuck in your head. it was entertaining. It was interesting. I think I like the Batman movie better than this one.
Yeah. Will Arnett is awesome as Batman and he continues that in Lego Movie 2 without a doubt.
Yeah. The Tiffany Haddish character, Queen Whatever.
Yeah.
She got on my nerves a little bit.
Yeah, I can see that.
I wanted to see a lot more Benny, man. Charlie Day is the spaceman. I needed more Benny. Benny just cracks me. He's my favorite of all of them. I love Benny.
See, I have to admit, I'm a bit of a Unikitty fan.
Yeah, Unikitty's good too.
Or Ultra Kitty in this case.
It was okay, you know. It was an okay sequel. I got to tell you, though, we paid for 3D. Uh-huh. Didn't matter.
Not needed.
Yeah. 3D, not needed whatsoever.
I think
surprised me, actually.
Yeah. I haven't, you know, truthfully, I can't think of the last three. I think Aquaman might have been the last 3D movie I saw.
Yeah.
And that's few and far between.
I don't want to give away the scene, but I want to say I really did enjoy the cameo by Bruce Willis.
Oh, that was good. Yes, that was good. You know what? What I loved about this was it went after a few things. I loved the Mad Max kind of references in the beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
They even poke a little fun at Twilight.
Didn't they do Disney too?
Yeah, there was Disney, and except, you know, Marvel won't call them back.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You even had a little Jason Momoa Aquaman.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I don't know if it was as standout as the first film, but it was fun. And you know what? For when I went and saw it, I needed something fun, and I think it's a great turn off your brain and just go have fun movie. And a fairly and a kind of quality follow up to a pretty big movie at the time.
Yeah.
So Chris Pratt is great as always. Elizabeth Banks is always fun. I mean, this is one of those ones that you do the family thing, you go see it, and it's like there's jokes for the kids and there's jokes for the parents.
I got a question for you.
Yes.
I was speculating here, but I was looking at the IMDb information, and they said the budget was rumored to be $100 million.
Okay.
Do you think that's mostly going to the stars?
I'm going to guess mostly to the stars and to effects.
Yeah. It just seems like a lot of money for that. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it did okay in the box office, but I know it didn't meet projections.
But I'm gonna say stream it. I'm not going to say go see it in the theater, to be honest with you, dude.
Yeah, I think unless, you know, you're making it like a family outing or something like that, I think that's a good reason to go see it. But otherwise, yeah, I think a stream it is fair with that. So
yeah. By the way, I just want to let you know I've been trying to get through season two of Punisher, and after the first couple of episodes with the whole police thing and stuff, where now you're getting kind of the Billy thing and stuff, it's kind of dragging. Mm-hmm.
It picks up again. The middle, I'll admit, the middle of Punisher is a little slow, but it does start picking up again. Have you gotten to the man who I think is probably now more and been in more Marvel shows than anybody else is back? And have you gotten to him yet?
Who?
Turk.
Which one's Turk?
He's the arms dealer from the first season of Daredevil that's made an appearance in like every one of these shows, even more so than Rosario Dawson.
No, I have not gotten to that yet. No.
Okay. Once you get to Turk, things get much more fun and much more interesting.
All right, cool.
It's kind of a dead time. You've got a lot of shows that are just coming back out of hiatus. This is kind of a weird time for movies. We don't have a lot right now.
Well, we got this upcoming. We got Alita Battle Angel.
Yeah, which I'm very excited about. We're going to have some special guests on for that. I know we have How to Train. That's what I've been meaning to ask you. You went and saw How to Train Your Dragon 3. Not talked about it.
We didn't talk about it last week?
No, we did not talk about it last week.
Oh.
You went to the special Fandango early showing of it. Now, obviously, we can't give out a lot of spoilers.
Yeah, that's right, because it's not out yet here in the States.
Yeah. You can't give out a lot of spoilers yet, but I at least want to know if you enjoyed it.
I really did. Camille and I share those movies, and we even enjoy watching the Netflix series as well. And I'll just say that it was a very worthy sequel and appears to be also a very worthy final chapter, too. This is supposed to be the final of the trilogy, of course. And I really enjoyed it. It was nice to see the evolvement of characters and see new dragons. But I noticed, though, that one of the dragon clans was not back. What's his name? I'm sorry. The actor that's in Silicon Valley, he was also the bar.
Oh, TJ Miller.
TJ Miller was not back as the voice, probably because of certain things that happened, but he was not back as the voice of the character Toughnut, I think he played.
Yeah, Toughnut. Toughnut.
They had someone else playing, and you could totally tell the difference.
Yeah, that's a shame, but what are you going to do? So, well,
but I highly recommend I do recommend it. And I do, we didn't see that in 3D because the showing that we have didn't show it in 3D. we plan on going back to see it in 3D because there's some very cool scenes in there that I think will translate well to 3D.
Good to know. Good to know. Well, with that, Kevin and I are going to take a little break so you guys can find out what else is going on around the Fandom Podcast Network. And then we'll be back to discuss some cult classics, or are they guilty pleasures?
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to recommend these other great podcasts on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture podcast with the latest news, reviews, and other fun topics in pop culture. For you Highlander fans, we've got Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast where we cover all things Highlander. Couch Potato Theater is for you movie buffs, our podcast celebrating the cult classics and fan favorite movies we don't get off the couch for. Time Warp, a look back on our classic and nostalgic fandoms that we still celebrate today. We also have End Zone for you NFL fans, our podcast talking about all things current in the NFL and giving our best mediocre fantasy football advice. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast with hosts Tom, Brandon, and Chris discussing the master of suspense, Alfred Hitchcock. And for you Star Trek Discovery and Orville fans, we have Discoville, talking about everything Discovery and the Orville. And for you hard rock music fans, we have the Hair Metal Podcast. The Hair Metal Podcast rediscovers the nostalgia of the 1980s hair metal bands. And we also have Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, where we discuss all things Doctor Who, both past and present. And our newest podcast, Lethal Mullet, our podcast celebrating action movies from the 1980s with your host, Adam P. O'Brien. You can find these great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play, and now on Spotify. On Facebook, you can find us at Fandom Podcast Network, on Instagram, Fandom Podcast Network, and also on Twitter at FanPod Network. You can also email us directly at FandomPodcastNetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening and supporting the Fandom Podcast Network. And remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
Well, that's what's going on around the network. We hope you enjoy what we're doing, which we're having fun or trying to at any rate. But Kevin, let's talk about our newest segment, Cult Classic or Guilty Pleasure.
This has been fun, and I'll be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah, it has been fun because we've kind of incorporated the Raider Nerd poll into it as well.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's been a little fun. So last week we brought up two movies. My choice was Twister, which you called the Guilty Pleasure, and I called the Cult Classic. And then your choice was Sniper, which we both called a guilty pleasure. And the poll results are very interesting.
Yeah, let's start with your Twister. So I just want to, even though, so for Twister, Cult Classic won out 54% to Guilty Pleasure 46%. That's close.
Yeah, no, that's close. And I was expecting that. I'll be honest, I was expecting that.
I was expecting it to be more cult classic me. I don't know. I wasn't really sure.
You were all over Twister being a guilty pleasure.
Yes, I am, and I still am. But it's nice to know that there's a lot of people out there that feel the same way. So were you not surprised by this?
No, I figured it would be close. I mean, I have admitted when we talked about it that I have a bit of a personal bias with Twister. So I figured the vote would be close, and I was actually ready for it to come in as a guilty pleasure. So I am happy that has come in as a cult classic.
So then we go to my film, Sniper, with Tom Berenger. This actually surprised me because we both said it'd be a guilty pleasure, but cult classic won with the poll. I would call it a near landslide, wouldn't you, maybe?
We're talking almost a 70-30.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
Cult Classic won 68% over Guilty Pleasure at 32%. What did you think of that?
I was a little surprised. I really kind of had put Sniper in the Guilty Pleasure, and maybe it's time I go give it a rewatch because I wouldn't have put it as a cult classic.
Yeah, I was saying Guilty Pleasure. I said it too, so yeah. I'm pleasantly surprised by that. So yeah. So that was a lot of fun. I did let the poll go for 2 days instead of normal 24 hours. And I usually will do it like starting on Saturday or Sunday. So it's done by Monday. So we have the results in time for our recording the podcast.
Yeah. So we've got two movies this week. You know what, Kevin? I want to do your film first because you know what? I was just watching A Star Is Born the other night, and that, since the man who is the lead—that's
what reminded me of this.
in your film, and I know we've talked about this film before, coming out of the video vault. So
yes, we will be revisiting that video vault segment with a lot of the films that I did there.
So let's talk about your pick, Kevin. Introduce your movie.
All right. So we were both recently watching A Star Is Born, and there are some great performances in that movie. Obviously, Lady Gaga and, of course, Bradley Cooper, who not only acted in it but also directed it, and they both performed their songs on that movie in that soundtrack. But Lady Gaga's father was played by Andrew Dice Clay, and he was fantastic in that role. Also, Sam Elliott played the brother of Bradley Cooper's character. He was great. So it was just a great cast. But underrated performance by Andrew Dice Clay, and reminded me of the 1990 film Adventures of Ford Fairlane. A movie I adore. I love watching it. Never get tired of it. And I think that at this time, Andrew Dice Clay was the biggest comic act in the world. He sold out Madison Square Gardens. I think the first comedian to do so, actually. He was bigger than Sam Kinison. He was bigger than anyone at that time. And I remember seeing him, I think, in 89, 90. I saw him twice within like a 2 or 3 year period. I saw him at a theater, just him headlining. And then I saw him in 1991 opening up, being the opening act at a sold out Rose Bowl stadium. And after him, was it Motorhead came out, and then it was Guns N' Roses and Metallica. So I saw him in his element, but he did The Adventures of Ford Fairlane right in the middle of the height of his stardom. And I remember when this film was in its early buzz, I was kind of skeptical. I'm like, these comics, when they jump to film, it doesn't always work. You know, Eddie Murphy made it work. Whoopi Goldberg didn't. Except when it came to like the comedy action stuff, she won an Oscar for Ghost, which was great, but you know, I wasn't a big fan of her other films, but, so I was skeptical, but when I went and saw that, I saw it in the theater with our buddy Kat, cause he's a big Andrew Dice Clay fan. And we actually saw him in concert at that theater, in Santa Barbara. And, we love this film, and I still love this film. And, it's so funny. It's got some great guest stars in it. But I thought it would be a really good contender to see whether or not it is a cult classic or guilty pleasure.
Okay.
What's your take?
Okay, so I saw this in the theater too. Here's my opinion of Andrew Dice Clay. Andrew Dice Clay hit it huge. Like you said, he was probably the biggest comic in the world for about a year to a 2 year period. But as fast as he blew up, he crashed just as hard. And I think he's kind of had a couple little career resurgences here and there. He's done some pretty impressive acting roles over the years that people don't really know about. But as far as Ford Fairlane goes, it's a fun film, but I think it's an acquired kind of taste film. You have to be an Andrew Dice Clay fan at the time. So I don't know how well that movie translates like a cult classic would. So I think I'm going to have to lean towards guilty pleasure for The Adventures of Ford Fairlane.
I really thought that he could have done a sequel, and I'm surprised he didn't do a sequel before his stardom started to kind of go down. Cause remember the whole 1988 being banned from MTV thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
which was lifted later on. I really thought that he could have done a sequel, and I'm really not sure of any other reasons why. I guess Rennie Harlan, he was the director. He did Die Hard 2 and a bunch of other action films as well. I'd be honest with you. When I picked this film, Kyle, I didn't know. I'm on the fence right now regarding if this is a cult classic or a guilty pleasure. I mean, I know a lot of people that like it, you know, and I think in a way it's kind of still had, it still kept its charm, you know, to a certain degree. And, I don't know, man.
I think for me, the biggest issue I have with Ford Fairlane, as far as being a cult classic, is it's become dated in certain aspects.
Well, most of these films can be dated. I mean, yeah, you know, but I don't know if I'd hold that against it.
I'm not necessarily holding it against it, but what I'm saying by making it a classic in that aspect, it's a tough call. I'm gonna say, I mean, I call it a guilty pleasure, but I can easily see it coming up as a cult classic.
I think you're right. I think I'm gonna play it safe and call it a cult classic. And either way, I don't care. I still enjoy this film, and I have it in my library. So yeah, I'm gonna say cult classic as well. I'm sorry, guilty pleasure. Sorry, guilty pleasure.
I'm confused. So now for my movie, I actually had another movie in mind, but we're going to do that next show because I wanted to speak with Kevin about it because we had set some parameters. Right on that edge of that parameter. But I've spoken with Kevin about it and he agrees that it's probably one we should cover because of the nature of the movie. But we're going to get to that next week. And that's what we call a tease because I ain't telling you what the movie is.
Yep.
But so instead, I went the route of 1992, when Jean-Claude Van Damme was one of the biggest action stars in Hollywood. And he did a movie where a lot of people got excited because he teamed up with Dolph Lundgren. And a lot of the action film people were incredibly excited about this team up for a movie called Universal Soldier.
I forgot that Roland Emmerich directed this film.
Yes, Roland Emmerich directed this film. This film never hit it huge in the box office, but it hit big when it hit home video. And you know what? I still enjoy this movie. I think it's one of the better Van Damme movies that he's done. It's actually a very fun plot that I've seen executed with other things here more recently, where you're talking about the bringing dead soldiers basically back to life as these kind of ultimate soldiers. And obviously, we have Jean-Claude Van Damme who kind of rebels against the programming he's given. The hunt goes down with Lundgren's character chasing him. But it's a solid action flick. It's one of Van Damme's best action films that he's done. I'd put it in maybe his top four. Kevin, would you agree with that?
Top four or five, yeah.
Yeah. And again, two true action movie icons in this film with Dolph Lundgren and Jean-Claude Van Damme. With all that said, I don't think it quite reaches cult classic status, so I'm going to call it a guilty pleasure.
Really?
Yeah.
I was actually going to go cult classic.
What are you?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Because it's, you know, first of all, it spawned like 7 sequels, I guess, and Van Damme was almost in all of them. But it's just, it was one of those good iconic action movies with two great action stars in it, where you normally only got the one action star, you know? It was an original concept, at least to me at the time, it felt like it.
Yeah. At the time. Yeah.
And most definitely. I don't remember seeing this in the theater either, dude. I think I caught it on video as well. And, everyone that I have talked to likes this film. And, so I would say that maybe for like 10 years or so, maybe it would be cult class or guilty pleasure. But I'm gonna call it cult classic, not guilty pleasure.
It's like Ford Fairlane. It could go either way, real easy.
You know, but that's the fun of the segment. Only something I could do to get other people's opinions about this.
I know you just don't put yourself out there at all. We've talked about this. I mean,
you know what I liked about this film was the supporting cast. I was a big fan of the female lead, Allie Walker. She was in Profiler, but she's been in a lot of other stuff. I remember too. There was something else she was in. I'm trying to remember. But Edo Ross, I really like him too. Yeah. He's
Jerry Orbach.
Edo Ross, though, he's been a a character actor that's been in a lot of films. He's one of those, oh, I know that face guy. You know, he was in Lethal Weapon as Mendez, Red Heat as Victor Rosteville. He was in Itchy as Dick Tracy. But he's done so many stuff, and I'm just a big fan of his, though.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of good character actors in there, you know?
Well, I've got to say this. The greatest president in movie history is in this movie, Kevin.
Who's the president? I forgot.
It's Tommy. Well, he's not the president in this movie, but he is the greatest president in movie history. When Tiny Lester is in
this
film.
Gosh, yeah, that guy.
Of course, if you haven't seen The Fifth Element, shame on you, first of all.
This is true. Yes, he is the greatest president ever. You're right. Yes, but I remember. I remember Allie from. I remember her. She played Andrea Bedford in the Santa Barbara soap opera.
You have some personal ties to
this. Yes. So yes, Universal Soldier. I'm calling it a cult classic.
Yeah. Like I said, you know, that's the fun of this. We have two movies that could easily go either way this week.
Yeah. Good choices.
So.
I got to tell you, though, real quick, a little side note.
Yeah.
When I was going through my physical media, it seems like the first ones I always pick, like, yeah, that's a guilty pleasure, Kevin. that's good. I'm actually having trouble finding movies that are on the fence that will create this kind of discussion, because there's a lot of stuff here that's just fully guilty pleasure.
Sure. Oh, yeah. There is. But, you know, what is one man's guilty pleasure is another man's cult classic.
Ah, there you go.
So, well, with that, Kevin and I are going to get out of here.
So, hold on. Kevin, before we go, though, you're going to see Alita Battle Angel this weekend, right?
Yeah, I'm going Thursday night, actually, Valentine's Day. I'm going to go check it out on the Dolby Digital.
There was another movie that was coming out this weekend that actually kind of got my attention, and it's kind of a guilty, don't want to kind of admit it type movie.
Are you talking about Fighting with My Family?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
What is this movie then?
I like the concept. It made me laugh when I saw the trailer. I'm a big rom-com guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Rebel Wilson's coming out a film called Isn't It Romantic, just in time for Valentine's Day, where she gets stuck in a real life romantic comedy. She gets bonked on the head or something, and she gets thrown in. And I think she doesn't like romantic comedies, but then she gets bonked on the head and she actually starts living one.
I think I've seen the trailer for this.
It looks cute. I'm very, very curious about it. So that's
my problem with that is I'm not a huge Rebel Wilson fan.
I like her. I liked her in the the singing movies. What are they called?
Pitch Perfect.
Yeah, I like her in the Pitch Perfect films. But yeah, there's some films where I haven't been a big fan of hers in. But overall, I think she's funny.
Yeah. So, well, any other final thoughts before we close out this week, Kevin?
Not really. I'm going to a wedding this weekend, and I'm going to go see a concert on Sunday night.
What concert?
Oh, an old hair metal band by the name of Junkyard making the rounds again. So I'm going to go check them out.
So I do want to do a quick throw out here, because Kevin and I kind of brought this particular topic up a couple different times. We all have, I don't care what anybody says, at some point growing up, we all had a guilty pleasure soap opera that we watched. Kevin, you talked about Santa Barbara. Mm-hmm. I have admitted when I was growing up, I kind of watched The Young and the Restless.
Yeah.
You know what? I want to say this, because I don't think there's any harder working actors out there than soap opera actors.
Oh, yeah.
The demands they have on them.
Yeah, their schedule's grueling.
And a lot of these soap opera actors have become quite well known because they've been on these shows for so long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's one in particular that passed away over last week by the name of Christoph St. John. He was on The Young and the Restless for almost 20 years.
Yeah, I remember hearing about this.
He played the character of Neil Winters. And he was actually very much a revolutionary for Black actors on television and the kind of storylines they did with him. And he passed away due to depression and mental illness. He lost a child a couple of years ago, and he was never quite the same. this was a very talented actor, like a lot of these soap opera actors are, that we just, they get into that entrench, and I don't blame them from leaving. It's a good paycheck, and they're making a lot of money, and they're steady work. And this was an actor who I had seen growing up and knew who this was, and I was really sad to hear this. And so I just want to throw this out to you. You know, if you're struggling with anything, don't be afraid to ask for help. You know, as negative as some we talk about with the way people's fandoms and stuff are, the one thing about the fandom community is they put that aside when somebody needs help.
Mm.
And that's what I love about fandom. So, you know, if you're struggling with something, reach out to anybody you know and just say something. Don't let it eat you up on the inside, because we're all too important. So with that, I want to thank everybody for listening. And as always, respect each other and enjoy your fandom.